Good morning. Celeste Headley here, joined by Miles O'Brien, co-hosting The Takeaway this morning while John Hockenberry is away. And you're here till the end of the week.
It's a heavy burden, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Just because of the hours?
No, I actually love these hours.
Okay. Well,
no,
it's nice
no,
to have
I don't
you here.
Really.
Although you and I represent two ends of the spectrum in terms of student loans. You paid them off in about 10 years.
Yeah, it was a hard 10 years, though. I wasn't making any money at the time.
Right, and I am
And these guys are not very nice on the phone, are they?
No, or women, for that matter. I'm 40 years old, still paying mine.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We just got this new report from the Department of Education, and it shows that, and this is surprising, nearly two-thirds of students have defaulted on their loans. These are students that go to for-profit colleges. And for-profit colleges are things like Phoenix, University of Phoenix, Kaplan
DeVry,
University.
DeVry, that kind
right.
of stuff. Right.
Two-thirds of them. We started this conversation yesterday at our website, and we asked how student loans have affected your life in ways maybe you didn't expect. And joining us now, we have one of our listeners who wrote in. Kevin Kreese left a comment at our Facebook page about his experience paying back student loans. Good morning again, Kevin.
Good morning.
So you got your degree in what?
I started creating my own program in political marketing.
Okay. So I don't know if you heard earlier when I was reading the comment from Kristen, who said that she feels that although she's paying hers off, she feels like they're a racket, like students are really encouraged to take these out, and the students, when they're taking them out, don't entirely understand what they're getting into. I wonder if you agree with that.
You know, I would to some extent, but I knew from day one that I was taking out a lot of money. It just doesn't add up. You sort of see it in the small chunks. So you're seeing it in that sort of maybe semester basis or $7,000 here, $8,000 there. And so you don't really put it all together and throw the interest on top of it until the end.
So is paying off these student loans actually affecting your lifestyle?
Well, you know, when I graduate, you know, the classic college experience, you sort of want to travel and learn more about the world and question all these things, and you just really can't. So you sort of have to buck up and get a pretty legit job. You can't really pay $540 a month as a Starbucks job.
You're paying $540 a month for your student loans.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That
is a lot of money.
That is a
that's
lot.
That's a mortgage in Detroit, Celeste.
yeah,
for a neighborhood.
Absolutely. Kevin is from Detroit, 25 years old, still paying back his student loans, paying more for his student loans than I do for my car, Kevin Kreese. Let's move on to Mark Kantrowitz, a publisher of fastweb.com and finaid.org. It's a guide to financial aid. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Is Kevin's story relatively normal?
It's more of an outlier, and certainly there are a lot of students, an increasing number of students, who take on an excessive amount of debt. I mean, you shouldn't borrow more than your expected starting salary to pay for your education, but the percentage of students who are doing that is increasing every year.
So we get this report from the Department of Education, and I think many people are surprised by this number, two-thirds of students defaulting on loans from for-profit colleges. That's distinct from the numbers coming out of not-for-profit colleges, and I'm hoping you can explain that.
Well, first of all, the figure that you're referring to, the 36% loan repayment rate,
right,
and you're subtracting it to get two-thirds, isn't a default rate. It's the percentage of the students who, within 4 years of graduation, are making a payment to principal on the loans. It does exclude not just the defaults, but also students who are in a deferment or a forbearance program. For example, medical school students will typically be in deferment or forbearance for their residency and internship, which is why Harvard Medical School, which everybody agrees is a good school, has a loan repayment rate of about 25%. The default rates at the for-profit colleges, the three-year default rate is 21%. The lifetime default rate is closer to 45%. So it would be more accurate to say that about half of the students, a little less than half of the students at the for-profit colleges, are defaulting on their loans. And to some extent, that is not just due to institutional quality issues, but due to the demographics of the students that they serve. I mean, 96% of the students at the for-profit colleges have low income, and the greater the percentage of Pell Grant recipients at a school, the lower their loan repayment rate. So the question that we have to ask is, are these schools serving an underserved population that hasn't been well served by the traditional colleges, or are they exploiting them?
Right, and that's the question it seems like the Obama administration is asking, because the administration proposed new rules last month that would cut off federal loan eligibility for these for-profit degree programs. And I want to use their language exactly. They say that the programs that fail to adequately prepare students for gainful employment. Does that mean that the gainful employment is employment that allows you to pay back these loans?
Well, and that's the way the Department of Education is proposing to define it. They want to define gainful employment in terms of three metrics, one of which is the loan repayment rate, which is a measure of the degree to which they're actually repaying the loans. The others are in terms of debt-to-income ratios, which measure the ability of the student to repay the loans. And clearly, if someone doesn't graduate or they can't get a job, they're going to have more difficulty repaying their loans, which will trigger a lower loan repayment rate. But the converse isn't necessarily true. And I think we need to proceed a little cautiously to make sure that this is not going to negatively impact access to higher education by low-income students.
But it does sound, Mark Kantrowitz, as though the government, through this examination of loan repayment, is dealing with the same question that many people are dealing with, which is, what is the value of this college degree if it doesn't give you the kind of wherewithal to even pay back the cost of the degree? Then what is the value of it? It sounds like that's kind of what's at issue here.
Absolutely. But I think that we need to measure educational quality more directly, that financial proxies are only indirectly measuring, and part of it is due to the quality of the program, part of it is due to the mix of students that they serve, and we need to separate the two so that we're comparing apples to apples.
And maybe the government, you suggest, should invest more in Pell Grants that students don't have to repay rather than in backing these student loans.
Right. At least part of the increase in student loans is due to inadequate grant support, that the Pell Grant is not going to increase next year. So the amount of debt at graduation is going to be increasing as a result.
Mark Kantrowitz, publisher of FastWeb.com and FinAid.org. We also spoke with Kevin Kreese, 25 years old, still paying back his student loans at the rate of $540 a month. He joined us from Detroit, Michigan.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.